We're going to do this reading together. Your line goes like this. Living our UUism means. And then Zach's going to say some stuff, right, which is really important, so you should definitely listen. So I will motion for you when it's time to say our line. Can you practice the line with me? Living our UUism means. Excellent. All right, let's begin with that. So living our UUism means.
If a grieving neighbor needs some companionship, you brew the pot of coffee and sit down to listen.
Living our UUism means.
If your children or grandchildren steal toys from others, you take the time to explain why they must learn to share and respect others.
Living our UUism means.
If your local soup kitchen needs warm bodies to serve food to the homeless on Tuesdays at noon, you give up one of your regular bridge games, put on an apron, and pitch in.
Living our UUism means.
If one of your kids or someone else near to you is weeping from a broken heart, you reach out and you wipe away the tears.
Living our UUism means.
If your elderly relative or friend is living in a nursing home, you bring a song or a picture for their room to brighten their day.
Living our UUism means.
If a coworker needs your principled defense, you take the risk to stand up for what is right.
Living our UUism means.
If your nephew lives alone, slowly dying from AIDS, you set aside your fear of his illness and mortality and go. Simply go and help.
Living our UUism means.
If a relief agency needs funds for the victims of some natural calamity, you write your check and maybe write it for a little more than you can afford.
Living our UUism means.
If your community needs a recycling center, you volunteer to serve on the organizing committee.
Living our UUism means.
If some stranger, perhaps someone of minority status, is being harassed or demeaned in a joke or in person, you speak up from your sense of justice and refuse to be an accomplice in that abuse.
You did it all by yourself. That's wonderful. Well done. Thank you, Zach. So first I should say, I've never preached frequently in a congregation or in a building of this size. I have been practicing to an empty sanctuary, trying to make sure that I'm looking left and right and up and down, though I can't actually see you. I'm so sorry. I am quite short, even with heels on. So I'm working on that. And if you find that I am not connecting with you, please do let me know so that I can work a little harder. So in 2005, when I was still just dating my now husband, Isaac, he convinced me to go to his UU church in the little town of DeLand, Florida. I was raised Catholic, and because of all the Catholic guilt and baggage I carried with me, any mention of church took me back to those experiences that I rejected consciously long ago. But I hesitantly agreed. So we went to this quaint little A-frame house that had been converted into a church. The greeter stood on the front porch because it was in Florida, where Isaac introduced me to her, and she asked if I wanted a name tag. So I said, no, thank you, to the nice lady on the porch. Of course, I didn't want a name tag. I thought, what kind of people wear name tags in church anyway? You're supposed to laugh at that. So those amazing people took me in as if I were their own, no questions asked, as if just entering their space made me one of theirs, no matter who I was. It was a feeling that I had never experienced before, even in my own family. I did not know at the time, but being in that tiny UU church within that sleepy retirement community was the first whisper I heard calling me to ministry. We soon moved across the country to Tacoma, Washington, where we attended the Tahoma Unitarian Universalist Congregation. I remember standing up to share a combined joy and sorrow about moving from that sweet, tiny congregation in Florida to this new, larger one. But instead, I just stood there in front of 200 people and wept. I sobbed about the people we left in Florida, those people that so willingly and compassionately opened their hearts to us, the strangers that became our family in such a short time. I sobbed about the new start we were making in Washington, nervous about new beginnings. I wonder when you have ever literally or figuratively packed your bags and left your life behind, excited but scared for what was to come next. I remember feeling so overwhelmed with love and compassion when the lay leader said to me, "It is okay for you to cry here." So I sobbed even more, and without saying a word, I dropped my stone in the water and silently returned to my seat. At the end of the service at TUUC, they have a ritual of singing and joining hands while gazing into one another's eyes, bearing their souls to the love that is right there surrounding them. From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we live. I just couldn't do it. I stood there sobbing. I know, big surprise, right? That was my real call to ministry. I did not know then that I had been hearing the call all along until the Spirit of Life finally hit me over the head with a 2x4 a few years later in my now home congregation in Pennsylvania. The Reverend Dr. Richard Speck, who was our district executive at the time, came to give the first sermon in our newly acquired church building. He spoke a simple message of the first principle of Unitarian Universalism. For those of you who don't know, that is the principle in which we affirm that absolutely every person has inherent worth and dignity, and that it is our mission within the walls of the church and in the community beyond to welcome those people. Now, I cannot remember exactly what he said, but the plank hit me over the head in that moment and said, "Wake up! This is your path. Go forward and change the world." That is when I realized that Unitarian Universalism saved me. That is when the real excitement began in my heart, in my belly, and in my words and deeds. I finally gave in and began my somewhat twisted path to seminary. My call to ministry was not any type of intense vision from God like some of our Christian counterparts, though I used to wish to have a vision, constantly wondering if this was really the path I should be following, questioning if I really had the skills to take on the vast and sacred work that ministry is. I'm sure many of you have also been there, questioning the calling that you are following in life at one time or another. Because I titled this sermon rather haphazardly many months ago, I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention, very briefly, my own personal theology, which I try to live out loud every day, and which you will encounter more during my ministry with you. I spent many years as a very angry atheist. Are there any of you in here who have also spent that time as a very angry atheist? Right. But for a young woman trying to study theology in a Catholic college, I can venture that you can guess how rough that may have been for me with my Catholic classmates. But after beginning seminary and completing a unit of clinical pastoral education as a hospital chaplain, my angry atheism soon faded and my newfound theology as a faith-theist emerged. At some point in our year together, you will hear more about faith-theism, but today, I will say that faith-theism, basically explained, means that I do not believe in a theistic God of some kind, and that I do believe in the power of love, in the grace of humanity, that together we can create the world that we dream about. My faith-theism is what propels me forward in this broken world into the ministry that has been gifted to me by so many people. From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we live. A few years later, that hymn caught back up with me in Binghamton, New York, at their Water In gathering during my first few weeks as their ministerial intern. I'm sure you'll be surprised when I tell you that the tears came back. Knowing I was following my path, that these people had said yes to me, and that I had chosen them to teach me the ways of ministry. I spent 2 years in a part-time internship with that community, and I fell in love with them from the instant I met them. I loved the compassion I saw in their eyes, the welcome I felt in their embrace, the fire for justice I felt in their words, their yearning to protect the earth, the warmth in their laughter, the courage they had to face their mistakes, and their unbridled celebration of true accomplishments. Their warmth and welcome reminded me of my days in DeLand, Florida, when I first found Unitarian Universalism. I suppose this leads you to wonder what I am doing here today. Well, as most of you know, I have been fellowshipped with the Unitarian Universalist Association and the Ministers Association, and the congregation in Binghamton, along with the UU Congregation of the Wyoming Valley and the UU Church of Cortland, voted to ordain me in April of 2017. While my internship taught me how to be a minister, I knew I wanted to gain experience serving a larger congregation and learning from a colleague who is not afraid to take risks in their job, which led me to you. Also, the choir. I will have to share, I came a few years back with my coming-of-age teens, and we came to worship here on that Sunday, and I was just beginning the path to seminary, but really questioning if this was my thing. Could I really do this really hard thing? And then we heard the choir sing at First Parish, and it renewed my call to ministry. It renewed and refreshed my soul and encouraged me along my way. I cannot thank the choir enough. So those of you who are in the choir, thank you. I will admit that I have had a hard time adjusting to the culture of Concord, as it is very much different from anywhere else I have ever lived. And I am already falling in love with all of you. I am falling in love with the dedicated office volunteers and operations staff who are always willing to entertain my inquiries. I am falling in love with the spark of justice I see in your eyes. I am falling in love with your continued commitment to Black Lives Matter. And I am falling in love with your welcome. And over the next few weeks and months, that love will only continue to grow as we show up each day for one another and for all of those who are marginalized in our world, in our church, and those beyond its walls. At my ordination just 4 short months ago, we sang, "Wake now, my vision of ministry clear. Brighten my pathway with radiance there. Mingle my calling with all who will share." As I said earlier, my path to ministry has not always been so clear as the words in the hymn suggest. And while the roads may have been muddy and rough, I always return to our theology as Unitarian Universalist, our mission of radical welcome for all those we meet. When I move to a new place, I'm always curious to find out how our UU theology and mission is lived out both in the congregation and in each of the individuals that make up the congregation. Last week, Howard preached about the hardships our country is facing right now. We can see the struggle everywhere we go and hear about it daily on the news. And I know that it can be hard to hear that something needs to be done, that we must rise to the occasion. But how? I heard from members of this community that they did not always know what to do next. So I'm here to remind you that while some of us do not have the means to travel to protest, to put our body in harm's way, to be arrested, there is still work for you to do right here at home. The reading that Zach did earlier very distinctly reminds us of what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist and how we can fulfill the call to action right here at home. We are reminded that living our UUism means if a coworker or neighbor needs your principled defense, you take the risk to rise up for what is right. Sometimes it is hard to rise to the occasion to help defend another. And as UUs, we are called to do that. It could be as simple as moving closer to the person that may need support, deflecting the conversation, or just providing a quiet presence in a time of need. Sometimes knowing there is another in our corner makes all the difference. Living our UUism means that if your local soup kitchen needs warm bodies to serve food to the homeless on Tuesdays at noon, you give up your regular bridge games and put on an apron and pitch in. We are busy, busy folks, friends. I imagine that there are none of you in this sanctuary that aren't busy. And we often hear that help is needed somewhere, and we think to ourselves, next time I will go, or I'll send a check tomorrow. But more often than not, my friends, what our community needs is to see that we can show up when we are asked to show up. Spend a few hours serving food at the soup kitchen. Drop by a nursing home and ask if there's anybody who could use a visit. Simply showing up declares to the community that we care. Living our UUism means, most importantly, if some stranger, perhaps someone of minority status, is being harassed or demeaned in a joke or in person, you speak up from your sense of justice and privilege and refuse to be an accomplice in that abuse. It can be hard to know when you hear this type of abuse, but it is as simple as interrupting an inappropriate joke. If somebody is telling you a joke and it makes you feel uncomfortable, you should speak up. Or if you hear someone making a generalized statement or microaggression about a group of people, invite them into conversation about how that statement actually sounds and what it actually means. And when you say something to someone and their verbal or nonverbal response tells you it was hurtful, you should apologize. And rather than saying, "I didn't mean that," you should spend some time reflecting on the difference between intent and impact on your words. I have been invited here to share the ministry of Unitarian Universalism with you for this upcoming year, and I am excited to explore the ministry of radical welcome that we can share together. The Reverend Fred Smalls reminds us that the third principle of Unitarian Universalism calls us to acceptance of one another. So we must ask, on whose terms? Do we celebrate diversity so long as everyone conforms to our culture? Eating the same food, listening to the same radio stations, speaking with the same accent, going to the same schools, worshiping in the same ways? Or do we extend our authentic welcome only to people like us? Or do we push ourselves beyond our comfort zones to welcome not only the stranger, but the stranger's strangeness with humility, curiosity, and respect? I got a lot of strangeness. I need you to welcome me. Our fourth principle affirms a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, but we must ask whose truth? The truth of the victors who write the history books and for whom the spoils of war have become a legacy and a birthright? Or the truth of the vanquished and the dispossessed, the refugee? As Unitarian Universalists, we know there are many truths and many stories, and we want to hear them all. By spending time in our community and understanding what our neighbors are up against, by signing up for a class at church which will help examine ourselves and how we can become better allies, by showing up in our world to give voice to those who do not have one, we are learning to be radically welcoming to all. As the Reverend Rebecca Ann Parker tells us in her book, Blessing the World, knowledge is never an individual achievement alone. It is constructed by communities of people, and its construction transforms those communities. Love tends the wounds inflicted by injustice and sin and offers compassion in the presence of suffering. Love builds communities of inclusiveness and friendship that break down the barriers that surround us. My ministry with you is one of love and radical welcome. It is one of seeing who you are. It is one of noticing our differences and respecting our individual life experiences and stories. Today, I am just a stranger in all of my strangeness. And I promise that during our time together, I will show you my humanity if you will show me yours. This journey of ministry that we are about to embark upon together is no less than a spiritual practice that will lead us into deeper relationships with one another and with our community. Our journey together will no doubt at times be muddy and rough, and it will be blessed with miracles, always miracles. So come and go with me to that land of justice and compassion, because together we can change the world. Blessed be. Shalom and Amen.